Nothing like being in the gym.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today, we're going to be recapping a huge Tuesday in the NBA and then previewing Wednesday's games. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it. Indeed. Let's start with the first game of the night. What a wild, weird game this was. The Washington Wizards get the win over the Knicks, 122-115. The Wizards were up huge, and the Knicks came storming back to have like a 10-plus point lead at halftime. And in the end, the Wizards pulled away late. After about 3 minutes in this game, the Knicks pulled all of their starters off.
Giggity!
And they ran with the bench unit, so that's why you see big minutes for Frank Ntilikina. 30 minutes, 20 points, 10 assists, 2 steals, 3 triples. He's been way more aggressive offensively over the last week or so. That's something to at least monitor. He's not a 12-team must-add player by any stretch, but he's available in tons and tons of leagues. I'd add him in all 16-team leagues just to see what they do. They should be playing him literally every single game, 30 minutes, over Alfred Payton, but this is the Knicks, so they prioritize absolute nonsense at every potential opportunity they get. But deeper leagues, I'm adding Ntilikina for now and seeing what happens. PunchBob had 20 and 6 in his 27 minutes with 5 assists. Just really, really hot start to the game from Portis. I don't think I buy into that as much as I do with Ntilikina, while Randall had 16 and 5 in 26 minutes. Of course, in a game where you pull the starters off early, it's always important to give Taj Gibson more minutes than usual, even though he is one of those starters. 17 minutes for 10 points, while Mitchie Robinson, a bit disappointing, 10 and 3 in his 25 minutes. Only 11 minutes for Mo Harkless. His minutes are going down and down and down almost every game. He doesn't have really any fantasy value, while the Fort Kevin Knox, just the 11 minutes. As for Payton, the March specialist, he was terrible in this game. 3-2-4 for Payton. I am still holding, but I wouldn't be surprised to see his role cut over the coming weeks, as it should be, but I don't know that that's going to happen necessarily. Rowan Barrett had 16-6. The 4 steals are great. The poor shooting is obviously bad, and that continues to be his issue. If you don't care about that, then the value for him is absolutely fine. For the Wizards, Shabazz Napier, he's a must-add player. 21 points, 6 assists, 3 steals, 3 triples, 38 minutes. I said he probably wouldn't play 40 minutes again. He didn't. He played 38. I feel pretty good in him being a 30-plus minute guy while Ish Smith is out, so he is a must-roster player. Beal was great as well. 40 and 7 assists with 3 steals and 4 threes. Hachimura, a nice bounce back after a disaster last game, but still only 12 and 7. He did add 2 blocks, which...
A surprise, to be sure, but a welcome one.
I think he's had 6 blocks over the entirety of the season, so again, we can't rely upon that. He's more of a 14-team league player than a 12-team league guy. Well, the tank, Tom Bryant, 24 minutes, 14 and 10. That's what he does. He's a great per-minute player. I don't believe in him long-term as a dynasty guy. I don't think he can be an NBA-quality starting center for many years. He has too many defensive deficiencies. So I think, you know, if you could get any top 100 guy back in a dynasty trade, I'd look to do that. For now, he remains sort of a fringe guy for 12-team leagues. That's obviously 12-team worthy, but last game he had 2 points in 16 minutes, which is clearly not a 12-team league type scenario. Troy Brown, really poor, 9 points again, and Jerome Robinson, who played 30 minutes the last time he was healthy, he had 0 points in 14 minutes. And with unpredictability, one thing that you should always try and rely upon is the player good? And the answer for that for Jerome Robinson is no. So therefore, there's going to be inconsistency and it makes him nowhere near a must-roster player, just a streamer and probably more just for the deeper league formats. Let's go on to the next game. The Boston Celtics, they arrest their slide. They win 114-111 over the Pacers. Haywood was great, 27-10-5, and Jason Tatum had 30-6 with 4 steals. Big games from both of those guys. Kemba Walker, it's pretty rough at the moment. 11 points on 25% shooting. Since the All-Star break, he's missed games. He's at a minutes limit. He can't hit shots. It's really bad. Now, he is not a droppable player, but he has now fallen outside the top 40 on the season. It was always going to be a transition to me coming to Boston, and he wouldn't be able to be that top 20 guy he was in Charlotte, but this is a really rough time for him to regress this far, and you know, I think we got to watch it. Maybe at some point, if it comes do or die, he does become a cut player. Probably not, but it is a possibility. The Rock DJ was allegedly probable to play in this game, but he didn't. We saw Enes Kanter get all those backup minutes, and Daniel Tice played 34, 20 and 6, 2 blocks and 2 threes. It looked at one point that the 3-center rotation would limit Tice to like 23 minutes a night. That's done at this point, and Tice is putting up great numbers again and is a must-roster player. Grant Williams out of the rotation pretty much, only 2 minutes for him here. For the Pacers, a big night from Victor Oladipo. 27, 7 and 4, a steal, a block, 5 triples, shot the ball well. Finally, some good games from Oladipo. And over the last week, he is a top 70 player. Now, he's going to have the back-to-back restriction pretty much the rest of this season, but the minutes limit could bump up for him over the weekend. If he's on the wire, I'd be grabbing him. Sabonis had 28, 9 and 8, while Turner, 36 minutes. Again, that's the most important thing. Is he playing big minutes next to Sabonis? Yes. 16 and 8, 4 blocks. He's been really good over the last 2 to 3 weeks. Aaron Holiday has not. 4 points in 34 minutes, 4 assists. And a lot of the time, you know, people will comment back things to me when I tweet them out, oh, I've got every starter as a fantasy option. Well, that's not true because Holiday's playing 34 minutes, shout out to Tony Snell, and doing absolutely nothing with these minutes. So he is not a guy that we should be looking at as a 12 or 14 team league must roster guy. You take a flyer on him, see what happens on a daily basis, but he's been shit for nearly all of this season. Tony Warren had 22 and 5, no assists, no steals, no blocks, but still pretty good numbers from him. Now I'm going to tell you about one of the ultimate life hacks. It's hard to find the time to sit down to read and learn more when you don't have the free time. You can't read or work on your own personal development. There's an incredible app that solves this problem. I highly recommend it. It is called Blinkist. Blinkist is unique. It works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. It takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information, from thousands of non-fiction books and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people are well known for reading a lot of books, and Blinkist is made for busy people just like you who want to get the main points of books quickly so you can start using that information right away. I like Blinkist because, again, who's got time to sit through a 300, 400-page book trying to get all of the information out of it? Blinkist gets all those key points, the takeaway points, which is what you're going to get out of these books, and gives it to you in 15-minute little chunks. That is perfect to digest as much information as you possibly can. Use Blinkist when you are out walking, when you're driving to work, when you're on the train. 15 minutes is a perfect length of time to get that information just drilled straight into your brain. I have listened to these books and I highly recommend you check them out. The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss, one you should absolutely be looking at. And then also Becoming by Michelle Obama, a great book about her life. There's something for everybody on Blinkist, so many different options. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to listen or read to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books. All the books you want for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. Let us go on now to the next game of the day from Tuesday. We're looking at the Cavs and the Chicago Bulls. Big games from the Bulls there with Kobe White in his first start. Let's focus on the Cavs first. There was no Tristan Thompson or Kevin Porter or Darius Garland. The Padawan Colin Sexton, just unbelievably great shooting. 26 points on 75% with 5 assists. He has really been super strong over the last couple of months. While Larry Nance, with that injury to Thompson, 16, 4 and 6, 2 steals in 32 minutes. Didn't miss a shot. He needs to be rostered in all leagues. While Garland is out and Porter, Matty Dellavedova is a very interesting assist streamer. 8 points, but the 34 minutes, 8 assists is exactly what we care about here with Dellavedova. That can have some real value here down the stretch. While Kevin Love, another huge minute night. 37 minutes, 17, 8 and 7. While the big avocado, Andre Drummond, had 21 and 7. Chetty Osman had been playing okay. It wasn't so much the case here, just 9 and 6 for Chetty in those 30 minutes when he had been playing pretty well in those previous two games, but nothing to really see too much there with him as we move forward. On to the Bulls, as I said, Kobe White, his first start, 20 points. He's never going to be afraid to take shots. He didn't hit them that well, just 41%, but the assists have been up lately. He had 5 of them here with 2 threes, and he is a must-roster player. While Satoransky, I think, is a drop. Now, he still played 29 minutes, Thomas, but 5, 8, and 5, and I think when Levine comes back, it's going to have a real impact on him. He can still be a hold in 12-team leagues. I wouldn't be, you know, completely just tied to making sure he's on my roster with how things are going. I also think Thad Young's a drop, 21 minutes, 8, 4, and 3, and that ties directly into Lauri Markkanen playing 27 minutes. Markkanen had 15 and 4 in that time, while Wendell Carter also played 27 minutes. And finally, he makes me feel stupid for thinking he's good because he's been terrible since returning from the injury. 17 and 6 with 2 steals, 27 minutes, and that included 5 fouls. So he could have played more. He is a guy, if he's on your wire, you go and grab him. Big Shaq Harrison.
Big Shaq.
8 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. How many blocks?
2 plus 2 is 4, minus 1, that's 3. Quick maths.
Man, this guy is putting up huge numbers, huge defensive stats, and that is a 12-team league player. Now, when Zach LaVine does return, I don't know what they're going to do. When Chandler Hutchison, if he ever returns, I'm not sure what's going to happen there. But for now, Harrison does have that short-term value that you can use for those defensive stats in particular. He's a relatively strong rebounder as well from the guard slash small forward position, which is where he is playing. So there are some good numbers coming out of Harrison. Good game from Otto Porter as well, 15, 4, and 2 with 2 steals. I think he loses usage when LaVine comes back, but he's worth having in a 12-team format. Denzel the Hammer Valentine's got some 3-point stream ability for the short term as well, 15 points in 23 minutes for the Hammer there. The next game, the Orlando Magic and the Memphis Grizzlies. In the end, the Grizzlies lose 120-115. On the road, Nikola Vucevic was great, 19-11-7, while Carter Williams, second big game in a row, 20 points, 2 steals, 2 triples, and while Evan Fournier is out, Carter Williams is getting a big boost. We're seeing James Ennis and Weza Wundu play very few minutes despite starting, and I think Carter Williams is an interesting 14-team league guy, and maybe even for 12s, while DJ Augustin had 16-2-4. He's got that short-term stream value also. Fultz had 14, 6, and 3 with 3 steals. It was a poor shooting night, but overall, the other numbers are pretty good. He still is a 12-team league guy. While Aaron Gordon, the high assists continue. I don't know where this is coming from. He had 9 assists. The low usage is also something that seems to be continuing. 8, 7, and 9 with a steal and a block. He remains a 12-team league guy, but in ways that we really couldn't have imagined from Gordon, who, over the course of the season, is still only the 120th ranked player. Terrence Ross, 24 points, 5 triples, continues his strong run, and while Fournier is out, there's no reason to think that his at least minutes and shot attempts are going to change. For Memphis, Valanciunas, talked about this on the DFS program yesterday, or part of the program, that Valanciunas and Vucevic going up against each other, they were going to put up big numbers, and they both did. Jonas had 27 and 16 with 36 minutes. Finally, this guy is getting the minutes that he's deserved for a long portion of his career, and it's paying off with some big, big numbers. He is the 54th ranked player so far this year. Dylan Brooks, he shot well. Sorry, let's try again. He shot a lot. He scored well. 44% for 21 points. I talked about him on the streaming show earlier today as a good point streamer. Thankfully, he didn't make me look too stupid there. While D'Anthony Melton, the wave pool, only 7 points, but 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and a triple one. That is why he does have value. Now, I'm not sure it's going to last, and he really is just a specialist, but that's pretty good. 21, 4, and 5 for Morant, while Joshy Jackson had 15 points. He's a nice points stream sort of an option. Let's go on to the next game, the Dallas Mavericks and the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs win it 119-109. For Dallas, Luka Doncic did play. He was great, 38-7-8 with 6 triples, while Timmy Hardaway's strong form continued, 20-7 with 4 threes and 2 steals. Hardaway, who is only the 145th ranked player over the course of the season, is now a top 100 player over the last 20 games. He has really ramped it up. Dorian Finney-Smith returned, 38 minutes for 15 points. He does have some 14-team league value, while Kristaps Porzingis, that is 2 horrendous shooting nights in a row from Porzingis. 9 points on 27%, but he had 12 boards, he had 2 blocks, and you have to think that shooting changes pretty soon. Maxi Kleber had 12 points, while Courtney Lee started in place of Seth Curry and had only the 2 points, and nobody is surprised about that at all. How about this bloke?
Maximum Derek.
I was hyping this bloke up in the preseason. I think he's better than DeJounte Murray was what I said. Now, that has maybe not looked like to be that accurate during the season. I thought they'd play them together and he'd get to 30 minutes a night. It hasn't happened. But this is what would happen if he had have played those minutes. 14 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals, 4 blocks. This guy is actually really good. And with Murray out, you cannot leave Derek White on the waiver wire. You just cannot. He is an absolute guaranteed must-add player. And again, he might shit the bed completely the next game. It might be like a Yokozuna bonsai drop on someone. If you haven't seen that one, check the clip where he shits his pants and sits on Bret Hart's face. But you got to add him. You just absolutely have to. You cannot avoid that. LaMarcus Aldridge is back. 24 points, 3 steals, 4 blocks. Excellent stuff. He was doubtful when I recorded yesterday. He played and was great. Well, DeRozan had 13, 5, and 12. He's been quietly a little bit off recently, not putting up the numbers that he was in that insane hot streak, which is, you know, makes sense. With no Lonnie Walker, with no DeJounte Murray, I thought Bryn Forbes would play more. In fact, he played less. Cool. 20 minutes, 7 points. He still hit his 2-3, so he does retain that value as a 3-point streamer and 3-point percentage guy. It was Marco Bellinelli, the old trusty Bellinelli, who had 16 points and 4 triples, and he got the boost over Mills, over Forbes, because of course he did. Trey Lyles continued his strong form, 14 and 11 with 4 threes, a steal, and a block. And I think while Poeltl is out, he does at least have 14 team league value, maybe even 12. He's the 72nd ranked player over the last week. Admittedly, most of that has been without LaMarcus Aldridge in, but still, again, playing with Aldridge today, he put up good numbers, and that is undeniable because those numbers were pretty good right here. Let's move on to the next game. It is the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Houston Rockets. The Rockets get the win, 117-111. D'Angelo Russell, who'd been a little bit quiet lately, was great here. 28-6-5 with 4 steals, while Juancho Hernangómez, great rebound stream. There's a podcast that someone might have done earlier today that mentioned him as a rebound stream. He had 18-10 with 4 triples. He had a steal as well. He shot well. I don't think he's a must-roster player by any means. He's a streamer. He's a 14-team league guy. Well, Jimmy Johnson, guess what, guys? Did he make us proud? I forgive you. He had 16 points in 25 minutes, 6 rebounds, 2 threes, 3 assists, 2 steals, and while Karl Anthony Towns is out, Johnson is a 12-team league player. Naz Reid got into some foul trouble, 11 and 4 in his 23 minutes, but he still has that 12-team value. Malik Beasley had some arguments, well, not arguments, discussions on the Basketball Monster Forum talking about, yeah, he got to bump his projections. I said, oh, he's not going to shoot 50%. And ever since I've said that, he can't hit anything. 18% shooting. 5-3, still remains a 12-team league guy, but it just shows the fluctuations in shooting percentages. Well, Josh Okogie appeared to hurt his back early in this game. It obviously didn't affect his minutes because he played 36 of them. He did nothing, but he still played 36 of them. Well, Jarrett Culver's stinking rookie season continued, only 18 minutes for 12 points, although admittedly, his shooting has been much improved recently. For the Rockets, Jimmy Harden had 37-4-7, while Westbrook had 27-6-4. 4 steals for Russ, 2 for Jim. Big shooting nights from both of those blokes, and Westbrook shot better from the free throw line than Harden, amazingly. PJ Tucker had 11 boards with 2 steals and 2 blocks. He's a streamer for those defensive categories. And Bob Covington ended with 10-7 in 41 minutes, but got the 2 blocks, got a steal, and continues to be so much better in a Houston uniform than he was in Minnesota. Only 12 minutes for Dan House. If you haven't dropped him in 12-team leagues, I don't know what you're waiting for. He is a clear drop there for me, while Eric Gordon played 30 minutes. Now, he ended with 16 points. He started off, I think, 0 of 6 from the field. He's still going to hurt your field goal percentage and do absolutely nothing else apart from score. So he is just a streamer for points and maybe for threes, while Jeff Green played 21 minutes.
My name is Jeff.
He'd been playing well. He did not play well here. 3 points on 6 shots with 2 rebounds and 1 assist. Still more just a deeper league guy than anything else. On to the next game of the night. The Phoenix Suns go down to the Portland Trailblazers. 121-105. A big night from Dario Saric. 24-11 in 39 minutes with 4 triples and a block. Now, easily his best performance of recent times. And with Kelly Oubre and Cam Johnson out long term, there are minutes there for Saric. But the Suns play one more game this week, and I look at him as just a streamer for that day, not someone whose ceiling is overall high enough to be a must hold. Ravishing Rick Rubio, 21-6-9 was strong, while Booker had 29-6-9, but he also left the game early in this one, Booker, after a hard fall with a few minutes left. He looked like a hip injury. Again, we don't know his status as we move forward, but hopefully it's nothing serious. 43 minutes for McCall Bridges, pretty poor. 8 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, a minuscule 8% usage. He needs to be more active offensively. He's still a hole to me, while Aaron Baines struggled. 7 points on 14 shots with 2 rebounds. DeAndre Ayton is expected back next game, so I think that Baines is a pretty clear drop with only one more game this week as well. You drop him and you get more people in that position. We also got 23 minutes out of Javon Carter. He can be an interesting steals streamer type of player. For the Blazers, it was four of the starters scored 20 points. Lillard with 25, Mallow with 21, Ariza with 22, and McCollum with 22. Ariza and Mallow had been sliding pretty considerably lately, so it's good to see those numbers come back up. Also, Mallow, a Richie Beno.
2 for 2, 2, 2.
Two threes, two steals, and two blocks. Of course, that is wildly not expected from him. He also had five assists to go with his 21 points and shot 56%. He has not been good of late outside the top 180 over the last 20 games. He is just a streamer and not a must roster. While Ariza, he's a steals type of guy. Occasionally, he have these games, and then next game, he's just as likely to score only 7 points. Hassan Whiteside, 16 and 14 for him with a couple of blocks. The world. I think he will lose a couple of minutes from at least this when Nurkic returns. Maybe he plays 32 a night, but I don't think he's playing 24 a night or anything like that. While Gary Trent and Anthony Simons barely saw the court with those starters all logging very heavy minutes to keep their playoff chances alive. All right, let's take a look at the next game now. We've got the Golden State Warriors and the LA Clippers. A pretty comfortable win in the end for LA, 131. They get the victory over Golden State, 107. Really hard to judge anything out of this from the Clippers. You know, Kawhi plays 25 minutes. Paul George plays 23 minutes. Landry Shamet, who was basically out of the rotation against the Lakers, plays 27 minutes. Only 20 minutes for Montrezl Harrell. We got 21 minutes of Rodney Magruder, and they started coming early. This was just a blowout. Very, very early on, and fantasy takeaways, there's just not much here. It was a good game from Reggie Jackson. He had 16 points. We had some solid performances from Ivica Zubac, who got 12 boards and 15 points for Patrick Beverley, but they're just not a reliable indicator of what this Clippers team will do on a nightly basis. For the Warriors, Marquese Chris did hurt his ankle, but he was able to return. Not his best night, 10 and 10, but still 27 minutes. Juan Toscano-Anderson went out in the first minute of the game, so Dragan Bender got extended run. 25 minutes for Bender, 23 and 7 with two triples. Looked really good. But this sort of role for him is not going to be there every night, I don't think. And he's not even this going to be this productive on most nights. So nothing overly exciting to look at there. Jordan Poole, not a great night from him. Jordan Poole had 17 points. Pretty strong night. Damian Lee, not the good night. 31 minutes, 8 points. His last two games looked really highly unsustainable. We'll see what happens when Steph and Draymond come back as to how that looks. I think he will become a drop. He can still hold for now. A surprise return from Kai Bowman, the lubricant. Wasn't expecting him back. He had 11 points in 24 minutes. The triangle, Eric Paschal, 12, 2, and 7. His assist numbers are way up at the moment. He's actually looking to be an assist streamer while Draymond is out. And Michael Mulder, who made the start, he had 3 points on 1 of 9 shooting one day after securing a multi-year contract. He will not have fantasy value or much outside of the very, very deep leagues once these other guys return. He's playing well at the moment. I just don't see really that lasting all that long. And realistically, Poole should be getting these minutes over Mulder anyway. But yeah, these are only guys that you look at as streaming options for deeper formats. Andy Wiggins had 21 points in his 32 minutes with three threes. Not the greatest night from Wiggins, but also not a complete disaster. Now we move on to the last game of the night. The Brooklyn Nets, a huge win on the road over the Lakers, 104-102. Spencer Dinwiddie with the game winner there. Caris LeVert had 22, 7, and 4 with two steals. Poor efficiency, but still good numbers. And same with Dinwiddie, 23, 4, and 7 on just 41% shooting. Smokin' Joe Harris did hurt his ankle late, but he was able to return to the game. But it looked pretty nasty, so we'll see if he has to miss any time. He is an elite three-point streamer who is, I believe, over-rostered. We'll see if he has to miss any time. If he does, I think it'll be Timotei Luwawu-Cabarrot, who's the biggest beneficiary. Same with Chris Chiozza, who could also get some extra minutes. Now, Chiozza had 17 minutes here, 11 points with 5 assists and 3 threes. I thought he looked pretty good out there. He's a nice, deep league point guard. Torian Prince is trash, 7 points on 18% shooting. He did have a triple one, but he is not a 12-team league guy, nor is his replacement in the starting lineup, Baby Neck Wilson Chandler, who had 5 points in 27 minutes. Jarrett Allen, you can drop him, 3 points in 21. While it wasn't a good DeAndre Jordan night, it wasn't horrendous, but 8 and 12 in 27 minutes. He probably is still a 12-team league guy. The Lakers. LeBron James. 29, 12, and 9, big from him. Davis was 26 and 8 with 4 triples. And then there's a whole bunch of nothing on this squad. Avery Bradley played big minutes again, but he couldn't replicate his huge performance last time. Just 10 points in 31 minutes. There was no Dwight Howard in this game. So JaVale McGee played a couple of extra minutes, 17 of them. It gave some extra playing time to Kuzma as well, who had 14 and 5. Kuzma's a point streamer, but that's about it. And then KCP and Danny Green and Alex Caruso and Rajon Rondo, they just all contribute to be, you know, 16-team league players. No real 12-team value in any of those guys. Let's have a look at some injury news now across the league. Zach LaVine says he thinks he'll be back within a week, so he might still miss some more time. That helps the value of Big Shaq Harrison there. Tyler Hero is questionable to return. He participated in practice, so he could be back. That's going to have an impact on guys like Nunn and maybe even Duncan Robinson there as well. And Joshy Richardson is set to return on Wednesday. Now, his numbers haven't been that good of late. He's still worth at least taking a look at in 12-team leagues. Joel Embiid has been upgraded to questionable, so that's fantastic news. That defeats the value or devalues Al Horford and Mike Scott, who'd been putting up some good numbers lately. I think Horford could be a drop. I might wait one game because I think they'll start together, but that doesn't mean that Horford will be good. Well, Darius Garland is going to be out for the next 3 to 4 games, giving Melly Dellavedova that value there as an assists streamer. Today, Marvin Bagley, the news was out on him that he may return this season. He's still rehabbing, but it's going to depend on where the Kings are in the playoff standing. So if they get eliminated, he won't come back. He's a safe drop in all 12-team leagues. While Toscano Anderson hurt his ankle today, he's going to lose his starting spot when Draymond returns anyway. And then Devin Booker did hurt his hip late for the Suns. Hopefully nothing too serious, but they don't play again for a few more days. Let's talk some DFS now. We've got 6 games to talk about here for Wednesday. All right, let's take a look at the first game, Detroit at Philadelphia. DraftKings pricing we're looking at today. Josh Richardson is back for Philadelphia, while for Detroit, the Shark, Bruce Brown. Baby Shark, he is questionable, while Brandon Knight is allegedly playing. But the big news, of course, is Joel do a 180 Embiid. He has been upgraded to questionable from that shoulder sprain. He was always likely to return this week, and here we are, likely to return. At point guard, Jordy McRae at 4,100. I think there is an opportunity for him here against this Sixers team. He's going to get lots of shot opportunities. We've seen that from McRae. He doesn't always translate into good numbers, but for tournaments, there is value here for him, especially if Bruce Brown does happen to sit out because it's some extra minutes coming his way. Brucey Brown himself at 5,200 really excelled as a point guard last game, but we just don't know what Casey's going to do in terms of playing him overnight, so there's a bit of hesitancy there with him. As for Nider himself at 4,900, if we hear that Knight is starting, then I think there is value in him at that price also. Shake Milton. Shake, shake, shake. After that insane shooting, he has cooled off, and he's averaging under 29 points over the last 3 games. And at 6,200, that's really not where we need it to be. I think he can be an okay tournament guy, but that price has normalized, and the value has disappeared a bit. Alec Burks is not really working for us. Joshy Richardson's at 52. I'm not certain that I'd want to use him first game back, but he's at least a tournament guy. Galloway, Mikhailuk, Furky from Turkey, I don't really see the value in them. At small forward, Tone Snell, Sekou Doumbouya at 3,200, no thank you. And Toby Harris at 8,500. If Embiid does return, that does have an impact on Toby's usage. And 8,500, I think that price is probably a little bit too high. At center, with the Muppet John Henson out, Thon McCare. He's at 3,100. Now, that's not a high price, but there is an opportunity for him to get 17 points, 18 points, 20 points, which gives you value at 3,100. So he's at least in play here. And the Crucifix Christian Woods at 8,100. He's a pretty strong cash guy at that salary. Embiid's at 10,500. And I think in his first game back, he might be a little bit limited. Now, the matchup is super good going up against Detroit. It's not the same Detroit team where he used to routinely shred Andre Drummond, but there is an opportunity. But still, I think that minutes limit might be an issue. Al Horford at 74. I believe they're going to start Horford next to Embiid in this game. But next to Embiid, he just cannot produce at the same level, and he's at 7,400, and that, in my opinion, is too high. Prison Mike Scott's been playing well, but his value will drop pretty considerably considering he is going to go back to the bench behind Horford and Embiid. Let's go to the next game. We're looking at the Charlotte Hornets and the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, and Kendrick Nunn are all questionable for Miami. Good to see Hero upgraded, not good to see Nunn and Butler on that list. So lots of variables there for Miami as to what can happen. And of course, you make adjustments and see where that usage goes. If any of these guys are out, they're all 3 high usage guys, and Adebayo is going to get a big bump. You get guys like Dragic getting a big bump in situations. You can take flyers on Derek Jones as well in those type of situations. Even Jay Crowder could become an option. Iron Shoulder, Goran Dragic is at 55. Love him if 2 of those guys are out, even if one of them is out and that one is Jimmy Butler or Kendrick Nunn. Some real value for Dragic there. While Devontae Graham's at 7,000, looks to get got his mojo back a little bit recently, putting up strong numbers, averaging 38 over the last 5. The only concern I have here is the matchup, but the Heat defense has dropped off a little bit. So I think Graham can be an option for us to use here. Rozier had a monster last game. He's at 6,900.
Giggity.
Dropped 55 in that double overtimer, but even prior to that, he'd been putting up some pretty okay numbers. I think he's worth at least a tournament flyer. At shooting guard, Butler's at 8,000. I wouldn't want to use him in this one. Cody Martin's at 4,400. He's getting the minutes, but he's not a good DFS upside guy. And Tyler Hero and Kendrick Nunn. Look, if Nunn plays and Butler's out, I think that works in his favor. If everyone plays, then I wouldn't want to use Kendrick there. Duncan Robinson is on a massive hot streak. He's averaging 39 points over the last three, but over his last five, he's still averaging under 30 points, and that's with those crazy three-game stretch. And if he's averaging that over those five games, if he cools off a bit, he's not going to make up that $6,000 price tag, so I'm not willing to utilize him. Caleb Martin was also bananas against Atlanta. I don't really think that is a replicable thing. At small forward, Miles Bridges has been terrible. I think he's a GPP-worthy guy, but that's about it. McDaniels and Derek Jones, only be using Jones if Butler is out. For your big man, Paul Washington was a disaster against the Hawks. 6 points in 16 minutes, but prior to that, he'd been playing pretty well. I think we can only utilize him as a tournament guy. I think Crowder gets a bit of a boost if multiple injuries do hit here. I wouldn't want to use him otherwise. Well, Adebayo at 9,000. I like it, and I could like it way more if we get one or two of those guys sidelined, especially Butler. The Zeller-Biombo center combination is likely what the Charlotte Hornets will be going with. I don't think there's much DFS value in those guys. It's just too unpredictable in terms of minutes, even if we know which players are actually going to be playing. The Knicks and the Hawks. The Knicks on a back-to-back. Go to Atlanta. The Hawks are 4.5-point favorites. We're playing a little bit better of late, as are the Knicks. The total is 230, while the Baptist Johnny Collins is probable, and Fantapants Kevin Huerter is also probable. Frankie Ntilikina is at 3,200. I don't hate using that as a GPP one. It's a great matchup for him. He's playing really well. Do I expect the 30 minutes that he got in today's game? No, but it could happen. Alfred Payton's at 65. Really hard to trust him at this point. While Barrett's at 5,500. I think that's some pretty good cash value there for RJ. Trae Young's at 10-4. Absolutely should roast this Knicks team, so I do like him at 10-4. He averages 60 the last three times that he has played them. Teague is a no-go, of course. At shooting guard, Reddish is at 49. I love what Cam Reddish is doing at the moment. Consistently putting up numbers. He looks like a strong option to me. While Huerter at 58 could be okay, but I'd much rather go $800 down and use Reddish in that position. Ellington and Bullock, no thank you. At small forward, the Fort, Kevin Knox, maybe he gives you 10 points. Cool. Hunter and Harkless. DeAndre Hunter is still putting up some okay numbers, but he just doesn't excite me. He doesn't give me great volume. I just don't like it as a DFS option there for me. For the big man, Mitchie Robinson's at 5,700. Pretty disappointing today, but prior to that, he'd been really good. It's an excellent matchup going up against the Hawks, so this is a good spot for him. While Randall at 78 should also be able to improve on what he did in today's game. And Punch Bob at 42. Portis is putting up some pretty strong numbers. Bobby is averaging 27 over the last five. I think he's at least worth a tournament look. Taj Gibson, no thank you. The Undertaker's at 47. I like that quite a bit as well, given how he played in the last game. Well, Bruno Fernando, and not going to move the needle. The Johnny Collins, he can though. 9,100. I think it's a bit high for John. It's just, you know, it's maybe 500-600 too high, and I reckon we can spend 9,100 better than on John Collins. The Utah Jazz and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is probable after missing last game, so that's good news for him. At point guard, Clarkson's at 4,100. He's very unpredictable, but he's a tournament guy. While Schroeder at 6,200, I think he's worth a look for cash, even though that salary has bumped. Mickey Conley's at 55. I love that for Conley, who is dropping in 32 a night over the last five. And Chris Paul at 76 also looks like a really rock-solid cash option. The Don, Donovan Mitchell.
He's Don. He's good.
Not that good lately. 7,300 his salary is. He's averaging just 27 points in the last three. I don't think this is necessarily the matchup to get too excited, although he has done really well against the Thunder in the past, not locking him into lineups at this point. At shooting guard, Gilgeous-Alexander at 6,300. I think that's right about the right price, so maybe for cash, but that's probably all. Jingle and Joe had a good game last time out, but I do not trust that one. At small forward, the Italian cock, Danilo Gallinari.
Hands off my
cock! I like it at 59 quite considerably. While Bojan Bogdanovic is in a real slump, but that means he's an excellent tournament guy because he could just as easily burst out for 50 or he could drop 5 points. Okay, that is what he does. Royce O'Neal had a big one last time out, but again, so much in that last game, it just feels really unreliable. For your big men, Noel, no thank you. Steve Adams at 5,600. I think there's not a bad floor in that number considering the way he's playing at the moment. And if you want to go for upside guys, Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert.
Mm-hmm. He was dreadful last game, just 17 points. But prior to that, he put up some good numbers. 7,500 is a good drop in salary for Gobert. So I do think at that price, he's at least worth a tournament look. Probably actually a cash guy as well, as a bit of a bounce back candidate. Let's go on to the next one. It is the Denver Nuggets and the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks played today, losing to the Spurs. We don't know if Seth Curry is going to be back. The other two options there, Kidd Gilchrist and Cauley Stein, the hyphens, they're not going to really be influencing us. Doncic is at 11,000. Look, he's really strong at that number. Monty Morris at 39, not interested. While the Blue Arrow, Jamal Murray at 72, always just feels he's a little bit too high, but he's playing really well at the moment. I still don't like it for DFS. DeLon Wright, JJ Barea, no thanks. Timmy Hardaway on fire. If Seth misses, I think Hardaway at 63 is worth a look. Otherwise, might be a little bit squishy there. While Farton Will Barton's at 62, also not massively keen on him at that salary. Gary Harris.
Nice, Gary!
Putting up some good steal numbers, and his lowest score in his last five has been 25. And at 4,500, what the hell more can you ask for? I'm not really sure I trust it, though, for DFS purposes, so I think we can do better than that. Finney Smith at 44, I don't think he's one of the ways to do better. And Michael Porter is averaging 7 points in his last three games. For your big men, big Chungus Nikola Jokic is at 9,700. He's been disappointing the last couple. I think a bounce back is on the cards in a really favorable matchup for Jokic. So I'd be okay with going with him. While Porzingis, he's at 9,400. That is cheaper than Jokic, but only worth $300. I would take Big Chungus over Porzingis, but I'm not worried about that shooting slump. I think it will come back for Kristaps relatively quickly. Paul Millsap's at 51, absolutely on fire against the G League Bucks in the last game. So I don't think we need to read too much into that. He's pretty unpredictable in terms of production. And then you've got someone like Jeremy Grant, who also played well, but at 4,600, would only be a tournament guy. And even then, not a super strong one. The last game of the night, big match in the key run-up to the 8th seed in the West, the Pelicans and the Kings. The Pels are 1.5-point favorites, and the total here is 235 points. JJ Redick remains out for the Pelicans, as does Marvin Bagley. For the Kings, at point guard, De'Aaron Fox at 7,800. Should be up tempo. He should be close to 40. I like Fox in this one, while Drew Holiday is putting up monster numbers. But he's at 8,200, so it does dampen my enthusiasm a little bit there for Holiday, despite the fact that he dropped 65 in his last contest. Lonzo also on fire, 7,900 for Ball, who's averaging 49 over the last five. I think he can get back to 40 again here. I'd rather take him and Fox over Holiday. For your shooting guards, Budrick Hield's at 54. Even in low minutes, he's generally getting to that number. I think he's probably more tournament, but the matchup is super good. While Bogdan Bogdanovic at 51 is an interesting GPP guy, given the increased pace most likely to happen here. At small forward, the pencil, Harrison Barnes. Barnesy. He's at $5,000, and to be honest, even in cash games, like, that's not bad. Like, he's giving you 25 to 27 a night. It's not a bad, cheap-ish, big-minute anchor guy with a bit of upside. I don't love it, but it's not a complete write-off like he is most of the time. While Ingram's at $8,000, and I think there's better ways of spending that $8,000 than on him. Josh Hart is not the option I'd be looking for, though. At the big man spots, Rashawn Holmes at 5,000. We don't know what his minutes limit is going to be at this point, or if he's even going to have one, or if he's going to start. But he is a tournament guy at that low price with a very clear 30-point upside. While Zion's at 7,800, maybe a little bit too high there for Zion to make him a must-play guy. I wouldn't want to use Melly or Favors or Bielitsa in this game. While Harry Giles and Alex Len, just too much uncertainty with that center rotation in Sacramento to get too excited about it. We have a look on FanDuel at some value guys there. I think Jordy McRae looks pretty good. Barrett, Rashawn Holmes, Adebayo, Randall, Fox, Bogdanovic, Ntilikina, Barton, Herder, Zion, the Crucifix, and Cam Reddish also come out looking pretty good over on FanDuel. That'll do it for me today, guys. And now that you finished this show, why don't you tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Subscribe to this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. Give me a thumbs up. Leave a comment down below, guys. We are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Jamal Crawford.